right. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. We are going to try to get through a couple of these commandments tonight. Make a little headway through the chapter here. It's our fifth message in chapter 20, so we're trying to hit the gas a little bit. But partly because we talked about some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight, where we talked about even on Sunday morning. But so we don't want to recover too much ground, but we do want to make sure we get everything we can from the Word of God here. Going verse by verse through the Word of God, there's a lot of benefits. The one drawback I would say is sometimes you feel like the message isn't necessarily for whoever might be there or whatever. And, you know, we've had times when it's been like, oh, this should be Sunday morning or this should be Wednesday night. But the Lord knows. And the blessing is, even if it's, you know, even if the message tonight didn't seem to have anything to do with, you know, myself or you or anybody in the room, it's all God's word, and it's all reminders, and it's all something we can take and use to teach others. I want to laugh at people when they say, well, there's just nothing for me in that message, or there, you know, I just don't get anything out of church. I'm like, well, then you're not doing your job, because part of your job isn't just to take in, it's to give out. And so even if you've heard it before, hear it again, because it unless you got a photographic memory, we could all use some practice on teaching the Word of God to others. And not many people do that nowadays, and so it just goes away. We talked about that with the generational fade that we saw earlier in our study of Exodus. But Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read a couple of verses here to get our bearings. We'll see verse number 12 and 13. Not very many words even to read, but we'll get these out of the way, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill." All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Pray, please help me now as I do my best to convey what you've laid upon my heart concerning these topics, these things. And Lord, we'll love you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. All right, so we're coming through these Ten Commandments. And so far, many of the commandments have had extra information in either the verse or several other verses to go along with the commandment. We often hear them just kind of dwindle down to the main command, and we've talked about that. But now we're getting into where we have a few commandments in a row that are just, thou shalt not, just don't do this. And that's the kind of thing that people sometimes complain about and say, oh, the Bible is just a list of things you can't do, or things you should or shouldn't do. And that's obviously in the Word of God, but that's not all the Word of God is. And so tonight, we find ourselves looking first and foremost here at verse number 12, honoring your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I like that this has this this retainer, if you will, attached to the commandment of honoring your parents. The second part of the verse, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And of course, the insinuation there is, if you don't honor your parents, the days upon that land will be shortened. And so there's almost a punishment warned of there in the verse. If you want your days on this land that God has given you to be long, then you need to honor your parents. You need to obey this command in God's word. We're going to go a couple of places in our Bible. Deuteronomy 5 and Matthew 15. We're going to look in Deuteronomy to see the kind of the mirror passage here to this passage, and then we'll look in Matthew to jump it to the New Testament. Because as we've established before, though these are laws that were given on tables of stone to a nation of Israel, they are the what is right and what is wrong does not change from Old Testament to New Testament, and so you can find these things taught and preached in the New Testament as well. So we find Deuteronomy 5 and Matthew 15. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So almost exactly the same there. Very similar passage backing up what was said in Exodus chapter number 20. Now in Matthew chapter 15, we find yet another warning here, another sternness coming about this command. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking says in Matthew 15, verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now, we won't get into, you know, die the death. What does that mean? Just, it's bad. You don't want to die the death. Now, "Whoso curseth his father and his mother, let him die the death." Now, you could talk about how, you know, this could be cursed, like a, you know, a big, bold thing. You could say, well, it's just cursing your parents, whatever. Can you imagine? People would be dropping dead all over Walmart today if this would happen. If they curse their parents, they die. We would have a lot of little gravestones, little pine wood boxes being made in our culture today, because there is no respect or honor for parents anymore. It's terrible. And it's hard to even blame the kids, because the parents really don't deserve any. I mean, they're just cruddy parents out there, some of them. And it's just a long line of disobedience to the Word of God, and it just breeds more and more disobedience to the Word of God, and it makes it a big problem. So why is this such a big deal? Why does God say your days will be prolonged upon the land if you honor your parents, and your days will be shortened if you don't? Why does God say let him die the death if he curses his parents? Why such a big deal? I think there's three reasons that we can see clearly today why it is such a big deal, or why God makes such a big deal about honoring our father and our mother. And I like that we see honor thy father and thy mother. It's not just, you know, do what your dad says, because that's sometimes the idea people give about the Bible is, oh, it's misogynistic and it leaves women and all this stuff. No, it's father and mother. We're a team. We are co-laborers together with Christ in raising our children. The father and the mother are both to be honored. You can be a mama's boy or a daddy's girl, but you honor both parents. Now, if I were to ask here, probably every single one of you would know, yes, I was a mama's boy, or I was a daddy's boy, or a daddy's girl, and most everybody has that kind of a preference to them. You say, well, I love both my parents equally. Hey, that's fine. A lot of parents will say, I love all my kids equally, too, and usually that's kind of a white lie. But we see that the Lord says both of them, honor both of them. Some people don't even know who their parents are nowadays. It's becoming more and more prevalent to only know who mom is, because dad's done run off, and hard to honor somebody you don't know, but it's a hard situation all around. It's getting to be, I mean, I remember when I was younger, I had a really good dad, and y'all have met my dad. I had a great father growing up, and so I understood when I read in the Bible, when God would refer to himself as our father in a positive light, I understood those references, I understood those analogies that God makes in his word concerning us being his children and that being a good thing. But I remember one day realizing how terrible some of the fathers of my classmates were in public school, thinking, if I read this verse to them, they're not going to like God, because their version of a father is just junk. And so it's one of those things that we need to understand that there's some reasons why God puts this commandment in here, why they're still important today. First of all, obeying and honoring your parents, especially as a child, it prepares an individual for life in really these three ways. First of all, it teaches us that we don't have to only honor those that we deem worthy of it. Right? How many have ever, as a child, you know, everybody in here has had parents, right? Because we're here, we were born. And so most all of us would probably say there was a time when we thought we knew better than our parents, right? Most of us, we probably are also grown out of that time and realized that we did not know better than our parents. But for at least a time, or at least one incident, most people have something to look back and say, yeah, I thought I knew better than them. I thought they were such fools. I thought, you know, whatever it may be. And so we had to learn as children, if we were brought up in a Christian home, the Christian way, it forced us to learn that whether we agree or disagree, or whether we like or don't like, we have to honor the person who is in authority over us, regardless of our feelings about them, regardless of our opinions about the matter. And of course, as a father of four now, there's times when, you know, I say something, it's not something important or anything, but there's that little bit of back talk, and that back talk, boy, I was good at it as a kid, and now I'm reaping what I've sown. And so when my kids, you know, they talk back, or they'll even just ask why. And it's like, it's not wrong to ask why. I get it. But they were in a hurry. Just do what I say. Just do it because I'm telling you to do it. Do it and just trust your dad. And so as a child, if we're raised the way we're supposed to be raised to honor our parents, we are taught by default, knowing that our parents are sinners, knowing that our parents aren't perfect, we are taught that we have to honor somebody who is an authority over us, even if we don't think they're perfect. Because guess what? Nobody's perfect except Christ. And what did they do to him? They put him on the cross. And so we know that we are all imperfect sinners, and we need to make sure that we are honoring our parents. Now, there is one way. I don't want to say way around this, but there's one thing that you can understand, and that is the same rule and law applies to parental authority that applies to any authority, and that is for Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So if there is a situation in life where honoring or obeying a parent becomes dishonoring and disobeying God, then obviously the answer is to do as God commands. I know of people whose parents told them to get an abortion. You don't honor your parents' wishes in that case. You honor God. And so hopefully that's clear. Hopefully that's understandable. But that's really the only situation where you can say, I did not honor my parents, and it was not wrong of me because I had to honor God. God is above them. Now, it teaches us to submit to authority. If you turn two places with me, 1 Peter 2 and Hebrews 13, you all probably know 1 Peter 2 after the last few years we've had in this country. We've gone there several times, both for the good and the bad and the ugly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, and then also Hebrews chapter number 13. So Hebrews 13 and 1 Peter 2. In Hebrews 13, we have this passage that concerns more so spiritual leadership that's over us. Hebrews 13 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And so this isn't talking about honoring, but it's very similar. You can't honor somebody you won't obey. And so here we see this, you know, we need to submit to authority, honoring our parents teaches us to submit to authority. And so it helps us with that, helps us with our spiritual leadership, helps us with that with governmental leadership. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing it may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now, we can debate about this passage. We've covered this before, every different which way you can look at it probably. But essentially, you can look and see in our world today, you can turn on the news and see pretty much any time of the year, kids going out there who weren't ever taught honoring authority by their parents, and they're learning it the hard way with the police. Or at least, you know, they should be learning it the hard way. Most of them get a free pass. But I would much rather my kids learn to honor those in authority through somebody who loves them and wants the best for them, which would be mom and dad, than to get everything they want, talk back, disobey, not be held to any standard of honoring authority. And then they go out into the world and they get fired from every job because they won't take anything from their boss. And they get in trouble with the law because, well, they're, you know, who's the law to tell them what they can and cannot do? And they just, there's no respect, there's no honor for any kind of authority in their lives. And I think that's one of the reasons God gives us this command for the nation of Israel and for us today to honor and obey our parents, is because it teaches us in a loving environment how to obey authority and honor authority in our lives. Now, the third thing it does is it symbolizes our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Verse after verse in God's Word refer to God as our Father. If we learn to dishonor our earthly parental figures, what is that going to do with our relationship with our God? I mean, like I mentioned before, you know, these young people are growing up with just trash for fathers and garbage for mothers. And excuse me for, I mean, it sounds bold, but if you've met them, you understand. Moms and dads who have no business being moms and dads And they grow up with that. And then they get told, well, God is your heavenly father. Well, their father is one of three guys, and they're not sure which one, but all of them are dope dealers. That's not a very good representation. That's not a very good situation to be in. And that's not a very good testimony. And so the fathers and the mothers doing a poor job sets up the child for failure. We already know that from other studies. But also the child, the child having to honor and obey parents, it's a symbol of a Christian honoring and obeying God the Father. If we can't obey our parents when they tell us to do our chores, if we can't honor our parents when we have a disagreement with them, even as adults, then how are we supposed to honor God when He gives us something spiritual to do? When He gives us something big or something bold to do, like go to Kenya and be a missionary, or go to Hawaii. Yeah, we'd all say no to that, right? Go to Hawaii and be a missionary or something like that. If we're just used to saying no, 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 and dishonoring our parents, then it's going to be nothing to do that to God. I hope I made that clear. It's that symbolic relationship with our Heavenly Father. I think that matters. Now, we'll look at one more passage concerning honoring our parents before we move on to the next command that we're going to get to tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. And of course, anybody who is a parent in this room ought to have these verses memorized. I remember as a youth pastor, there were some kids in the youth group that the first verses they ever quoted to me were these verses. And I told their parents after class, I said, you were doing a good job, because the first verses these kids learned and knew, or at least they quoted out to everybody else in the class, was Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so here we see in Ephesians, we see it's the same command. Obedience is tossed into the command, because as I said, they really go hand in hand with one another. But also, you see verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first man with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So now it's not a command and a promise to Israelites that they'll live long in the land that God has given them, in the promised land. Now it's just for every single person, every Christian. It's another command slash warning. If you want to live long on this earth, honor your parents. And so it takes an Old Testament law and turns it into a New Testament truth and updates essentially what the command is and what the result of obeying or disobeying the command is. And so, again, you just see the Old Testament and New Testament, they work hand in hand together. The same God was the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, and He does not change. And so obedience and honor, we know they're two different things, but they are undeniably connected. You cannot honor somebody that you won't obey. And you won't obey somebody that you don't honor. And so they are connected. Now, parental honor does not end at 18 or 21 or when a marriage happens. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. It doesn't give a date to that. It doesn't give a time frame. As long as they are father and mother, we ought to honor them as such. Doesn't mean they're the greatest people on the planet. Doesn't mean they're saintly or anything like that. But we ought to honor them as our parents. Some people have pretty despicable parents. I've met some, and I know it's got to be harder than others to honor them, but it doesn't take away the truth of the fact that our command is to do this. Whether they do poorly at their job or not isn't an excuse for us. I get this all the time with people. We had a conversation here one time with some college kids where they were trying to debate about keeping secrets from parents and things like that. And I was telling them, honor your father and your mother doesn't come with a clause as long as you agree with them, or as long as they're nice to you, or as long as they're good people. Your father and mother could be the worst people on the planet. You're still supposed to honor them. Now, not if it means breaking God's laws, but if it's not something against God's laws, if dad says, take out the trash, and the kid says, well, no, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, I don't have to listen to you, that doesn't make any sense. That's not right. That's two wrongs. But so often, I remember, you know, as a youth pastor, there were young people would come, and do I have to honor and obey my parents if they're not Christian? Do I have to honor and obey my parents if they're hypocrites? Do I have to honor and obey my parents if, you know, fill in the blank? And I said, well, read the verse. And we'd read the verse. And I'd say, did you see anything in there that said, unless? Did you see anything else in it? And no. Like, there's no other verse. Like, there's no out. As long as you're not breaking God's law by honoring them, you're to honor them. And it's the same with so many different things in this life. People try to make it about circumstances. They try to make it, you know, well, that's the rule, but here's the exception. You don't find that much in the Word of God. I mean, you will see here when we're about to look at thou shalt not kill. Obviously, there's some exceptions to that rule. Otherwise, Israel would have been wiped off the map pretty quickly. God gave some ins and some outs to those things. And you think about lying and bearing false witness. God had prophets that lied to people. And you say, well, what about that? Again, 99.9% of the time, you look in the Word of God and you won't find one hint of anything being situational. There's whole classes on situational ethics and what's right in this situation might be wrong in this situation. God's Word's pretty clear, though. Abortion is wrong all the ways. You know, people are trying to make a big fuss about a guy running for governor saying that he'd give no exclusions or whatever, no exceptions for abortion, as if he even could make the law for any reason. And I say, praise God, that's the right way. But people say, well, what about this? What about that? Two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, that's an old saying, but it's a true thing. And so God's Word, just like with honoring your parents, we have to understand that the Bible doesn't say, unless you don't like them, unless they're bad, unless they're hypocrites. Guess what? So are you. So am I. We're all hypocrites. Because we're all sinners. But anyways, we'll go on from that. Now, honoring our parents, Lord willing, we understand that. Everybody in this room, for the most part, we're all parents or have been parents. And so we understand that a little bit. And we've all been kids. And so we definitely should have some insight there. Now, the next command, thou shalt not kill. And we're going to go through this pretty quickly to get through tonight, because we, in our Sunday school lesson Sunday morning, we talked about self-defense and we touched on some of these points. And we've talked about this same topic a couple of years ago in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 3. We find that there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. And so we need to first rectify, okay, God said to Israel in the tables of stone, thou shalt not kill. And yet then Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, given that wisdom by God, said there's a time to kill. And so it's not a contradiction. It's just understanding what the Ten Commandments are versus, you know, what the wisdom of Solomon was. And so the Ten Commandments, you know, this is God giving his people laws for their daily lives. And there are, when it comes to killing, it's very easy to see that God makes some exceptions for this law under specific circumstances. It's not just, well, thou shalt not kill, but you can make your own exceptions up. It's no, thou shalt not kill, pretty much unless God tells you to go kill somebody. Because in God's Word, we have God commanding the Israelites to wipe out whole nations. So if they were to disobey that command, they're disobeying God. God said, do not kill. Don't kill each other. Don't kill for fun. Don't kill for rage or for sin. But when I tell you, go kill those enemies so that they don't harm you, do it. And when I tell you to go kill somebody like Achan because he has sinned and brought sin into the camp and we need to get rid of this thing, get right with God, do it. And so thou shalt not kill and there is a time to kill. It's not a contradiction. It's really essentially two separate truths of here is the law for your daily life. And then here is the times when God himself says, okay, this is the law. But this is a special circumstance that's outside of that Ten Commandments. Now, this is what, you can't do that with every command. You can't do that with, like I said, with honoring your parents. There's no special circumstance unless it's something that goes against honoring God. You can't make up your own circumstances. You can't make up your own outs for the commandments, but God lays them out. Does that make sense? Everybody, some of you are looking at me confused. I just want to make sure we're good here. So, we know that killing in times of war is okay. Anybody who's ever read the Old Testament knows that. Because again and again and again, God commands his people to go and wipe people out. David killed Goliath and nobody said, oh, you shouldn't have done that because look, the commandment says thou shalt not kill. I mean, can you imagine? And nowadays, I can imagine that happening. Somebody just walking out of the battlefield. How dare you do that? The Bible says thou shalt not kill. You're not a good Israelite, David. I mean, we get it told all the time. We'll do something the Bible says to do, like hand a tract to somebody and says, you're being a bad Christian. You're like, really? It's crazy, this world we live in. But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure if you could take some crazy church person from today in America and transplant them to Israel then, David'd be walking out there picking up rocks and they'd be having their banter back and forth. Oh, I'm going to feed you to the birds. Oh, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And then this lady come running out. No, no. The commandment says thou shalt not kill. Can't we hug it out? And then when God says, you know, slay Amalek utterly, and Elijah's going to hew him in pieces before the Lord, or the prophet's going to hew him in pieces before the Lord, she runs out there, no, no, no. It's like, come on, people. There is a time for these things. And in times of war is not the time to play nice. That's how you lose wars. And we've proven that over the last couple of decades with our ridiculous restraints upon our troops. But we won't get into that. That's just a little insight into my feelings on the matter there. But killing is okay in times of war. Killing is okay in lawful punishment. I mentioned Achan, Joshua chapter 7. You find the story. God essentially says there's sin in the camp. You need to find that person. You need to figure out who did this. And you need to burn them with fire. God said, kill this person. God said in Leviticus 20:27 that the child who's disobedient or rebellious, stone them till they're dead. Again, be a lot less kids in America today. But there were a lot of death penalty offenses in Israel. And the reason for that wasn't that God wanted a lot of people to die. It was because God understood what people don't understand today in the American justice system is without the Holy Spirit living within us, there is nothing to keep us from doing what our flesh wants to do except fear of retribution. I don't want to be killed, so I'm not going to break into that guy's house to steal from him. I don't want to go to jail for the rest of my life, so I'm not going to take advantage of this person. It's weighing the cost. And so God said, okay, this is a death penalty offense. This is a death penalty offense. This is a death penalty offense. This is going to cost you seven times what you stole. You have to restore. And there were some very severe punishments, including death, the purpose of which was to deter people from committing these evil acts. Because what is to stop somebody from committing an evil act if they don't have the Holy Spirit? Even the Israelites, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in their heart. They didn't have the Holy Ghost living within them. That was something that came up for the church. Holy Spirit had involvement in the Old Testament, obviously. It would come upon people, but never in people. The Bible says that he's in us now. And so we don't have time to run all the references, but the nation of Israel and America, any lost person today, without the Holy Spirit as a guide, what is to keep them from just doing what they want? You say, well, people are good. What world do you live in? I mean, come on. Disney called. They want their tagline back. People are not good. People are inherently evil, and that is because we have a sin nature. Some worse than others. Some better than others. But if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit guiding us, even with the Holy Spirit sometimes, we need to have that fear of consequence. And so the death is, killing is absolutely called for in times of criminal, you know, justice and all that. And then, of course, we talked about Sunday morning. We're just going to mention it tonight in the series here. Killing is okay in defense of life. Luke 22:36, Christ said, if you don't own a sword, sell your coat and buy one. Got to have a sword on you. And there's really only one reason for that. It's not to, you know, open somebody's mail for them. Back in that day, having a sword meant you were going to mean business. There was going to be bloodshed and it was going to be a life lost. And the Lord didn't ever tell them to use their sword offensively against people. And so we can easily presume here in the Word of God that the sword was there for their defense. Christ, just as he does with adultery, and we'll see that, Lord willing, next time, he gives clarity to the command not to kill in Matthew chapter 5. This will be our last stop tonight. Matthew chapter 5. I can only imagine the dismay of the people at this sermon that Christ preaches in Matthew here, because they're, you know, he's going through some of the Old Testament laws, and he's just making them harder. You talk about, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, and then the Lord says, well, even if you look at a woman to lust after, you've done it already. Well, that just made that a whole lot harder. I mean, going out and committing adultery with somebody versus just having a thought in your head, you just upped that game big time. But he does the same thing with killing. And what's funny is I don't hear the people that are, you know, against violence and against killing, even in defense of life or in war or the death penalty, people who are against those things, they'll bring up, well, thou shalt not kill, ignoring 90% of the Bible, and they'll never go to this passage. Because here Christ, just like with adultery, he is giving further detail as to what does God consider killing someone. Matthew 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. So if you kill, you're in danger of the judgment. Verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. That makes it a whole lot harder. I would hope it's a lot easier not to kill someone than it is to just be mad at them with no good reason. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. This is a really incredible passage that never gets touched, I feel like. Because you notice what was said here. It didn't say, if you have something in your heart against your brother, I don't want your sacrifice, I don't want your offering, we have a problem in our relationship, go fix it first. He said, if your brother has something against you, go get that fixed and then come bring your offering. God's refusal of this offering is an indicator that the relationship between the offerer and God is not right. The Bible clearly says that there are things that can hinder our prayers, hinder our walk with God. Husbands, if we don't love our wives the way we should, the Bible says our prayers will be hindered. And so here we see, if we have a wrong relationship with a brother, which as Christians, that could be any brother or sister in Christ, the Lord says, leave your tithe, leave your service, leave all that there at the altar, go fix that relationship first, and then come back. That's a really sobering addition or update, I guess you could call it, to the Old Testament command, thou shalt not kill. And it just speaks to the great importance that God puts on the unity of the brethren. And we see that in this not revision, but this explanation of the commandment coming from Christ. He says, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're in danger of that judgment. If your brother's got aught against you, you leave your gift at the altar, you go fix it, then you come back and talk to God. And that's something that I don't think gets spoken of enough today. And I think there's a lot of churches that struggle and that God just can't do a work in because there's so many people in there that can't stand each other. And they won't let go of that. And I understand it. People are people. And people can be just ridiculous. And it can be really hard to forgive and forget. It can be really hard to be the bigger man or whatever you want to call it. But the Lord says, if you want a right relationship with me, you got to have a right relationship with each other. And that makes it hard. That makes it hard. But it makes it something that we can strive for. Because honestly, it shouldn't be that hard for us to hit the goal of thou shalt not kill. That should not be that hard. We should not be running around chopping heads off or doing it. That's for the Muslims. They can do that. That's what their God wants them to do to get their virgins and meet them in heaven and avoid hell for all that. So there, I just got myself on somebody's list. But for us, we ought to be going around making sure that we don't have issues with our brethren, so that we can better serve our God and have a relationship with Him. I don't want the church to be hindered because I have a grudge. I don't want the church to be hindered because I've offended or something like that. I want the church to be able to move forward and serve God without hindrance, and especially without hindrance on my part. And so far we see, of course, no other gods before me, no graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, honor your father and mother, and do not kill. We're making some headway here, and Lord willing, hopefully something was a help tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the commands we find in it, Lord. Lord, we would have been sufficient for you to tell us, Lord, not to kill one another. That would have been hard enough for us to obey and to follow. But Lord, you give that extra challenge in there. You explain, Lord, the relationship that we must have with our brethren. And Lord, help us to strive not to be guilty. Lord, help us to strive to have right relationships with one another. Lord, help us to strive to always do our best to serve you in joy and gladness and singleness of heart. Lord, help us to glorify you and honor you in the way that we respond to studying these commandments together. Lord, help us never to just say, well, they're Old Testament, that's just Israel. Lord, all of these can be applied to our lives and our hearts in some way. Lord, help us to do just that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken. Page 448 in your hymn books. We'll